Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Good morning. Good morning. So, fun fact, if you've been at the church for 4 years, they let you preach. Just kidding, man. Hey, so I'm so excited to be here this morning. I have been asking for an opportunity like this for some time, and I have, in 15 years of ministry, I've never been more nervous than I was this morning. But the good news is I already got one out of the way, so I feel a whole lot better now. But hey, man, mad props to Pastor Steve, and here's why. The fact that he does this every single week, you know what the hardest part of preparing for this whole week was? Anybody? It was the video clip, man. This guy's got to come up with one of these every single week. Are you kidding me? So it was awesome. So I'm doing this thing. I got 3 days in. I had found my clip. I was getting so frustrated. I sent it to him. I said, dude, I found my clip. And you know what he says? Oh, I used that in October of 2015. I told him, I'm going to use it anyways. Napoleon Dynamite. That movie came out in 2004. I was a senior in high school in 2004, the year I graduated. So let that sink in for a minute. If I see you counting on your fingers, we'll talk about that later. That's how I count, it's on my fingers, believe it or not. And I remember when that movie came out, nobody knew anything about it. It wasn't promoted. It didn't have any type of backing at all. And some of my buddies and I went to the movies one night, and we saw a poster for it, and nothing else good was playing, and so we checked it out. And never laughed so hard in a movie theater in my life, and of course this movie goes on to become a complete classic, which if you're not familiar with the ways of Napoleon Dynamite, you need to go home tonight and this afternoon and check that out. So, Uncle Rico, man, Uncle Rico's character. You got any Uncle Ricos in the house? Anybody bold enough to raise your hand? No, probably not. So Uncle Rico, here's a guy who is completely living in the past, right? I don't know how old he is. He looks like he's probably in his 40s, something like that. Dude lives in a van. He's babysitting his full-grown nephews in this movie, and all he can do is think about the past. You know, this guy's making videos of himself, like throwing the football and you know, like for scouting or recruiting or something like that. All he talks about is, man, if the coach would have just put me in, everything would be different, right? I'd have gone pro. I'd be living in a big old house. I'd have millions of dollars. I'd be with my soulmate soaking it up in a hot tub. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but judging by the way he took that steak and flung it, I don't think he was that good at football. I don't think anything would have been different at all. But this guy was dead set. He's dead set. He says, if the coach would have just put me in. But where am I going with all this, right? I think that when it comes to our limitations, most people operate out of this if-then mentality. And what I mean by that is, if I had blank, then I would blank. Or if I could blank, then I would blank. And my hope is that by the end of this sermon, you guys can fill those blanks in for yourself and hopefully have a deeper understanding of what we're going to be talking about this morning. So let me get transparent with you for a few minutes. You know, I know that most of you guys know me as the guy that leads worship, the guy who sings, and the guy that has a beard because Pastor Steve can't let that go. And I am a creature of many phases. I don't have a very long attention span. It's very, very short. And it takes, I'm constantly changing what I'm into. I don't really have a hobby. I have lots of hobbies. My problem is that when I jump into a hobby, when I jump into something that I want to do, I'm all in. So whatever I need to buy, whatever I need to get, whatever I need to learn, like I'm gonna go all in. The problem is that it usually associates with something that I'm just not very good with to begin with, right? So let's start with this one, right? So, all my life I've wanted to be a man's man, right? Fix stuff, whatever. My dad, my grandfather, all these guys, man, in my family, I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, they know how to fix it. I'm like, dude, how do you even know this information? They're like, oh, yeah, that's no problem. All you gotta do is take the sheetrock down and... Look, man, here's the deal. I can't do this stuff. I've tried, and I've tried, and I've tried. And the problem is that I get to a place where I start these projects, and I can't do them. I'm like, I don't have a clue what I'm doing. But if I only had that tool that I saw, or if I only had, those things that I don't, if I only had that, you know, I don't know what it's called. Brittany, what's that thing called? And she's like, dude, you just need to stop. So what do? I go down to the store and I spend more money on tools than I spent on the project to begin with, because I felt like if I go get the coolest stuff, if I go get the electronic drill and the, you know, all, I don't even know what they're called, guys. That's the thing. You can make fun of me all you want to. The problem is that I still can't build stuff. I still can't fix stuff. And so my whole house is full of projects that I was like, I woke up on a Saturday morning. I'm like, you know what? I got a pretty good idea what I'm going to do today. And by the end of the day, I'm calling somebody because nothing worked out the way it was supposed to. Sports for me. I have a love-hate relationship with sports. I absolutely love sports. They hate me. Hate me. I can't play sports to save my life. I've tried. My thing is when I jump in and when I go and I do sports, I'm going to like, you know what? I'm going to have the best gear, the best equipment. I remember some years ago, right before I came to this church, I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina for a long time, and they would do a flag football tournament at Panther Stadium every single year. I never played, but my brother-in-law was very athletic, and he played a lot, and he said, hey, man, we got an opening on our team, and you were our third choice. I said, thanks, man. Absolutely. So what do? I go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I buy all the stuff. What color are we? Oh, we're green. All right, cool. I'm going to get the green socks. I'm going to get the dry fit gear so I feel good about myself. I'm going to get them gloves. You know them gloves? You know when you go like this and your hands won't move? And I'm thinking, dude, I will catch everything that comes. Because you're supposed to be able to. Theoretically, you're supposed to catch everything that comes for you. So I spent all this money, $100, $100+. I got all this gear. I get out to the field, man, and I look the part, man. I got the wristband that matches my cleats. Everything's brand spanking new. Like I'm picking, you know, specks of grass off my cleats because they don't look good anymore. First play of the very first game, I go run into the quarterback. I try to take his flag. I miss and just wad myself up into just oblivion ball, just right on the ground, tear my MCL. First game, first play of the first game, and we had to go on. I had to go on to basically just sit there the rest of the day and watch my team play without me, and they did really, really well, and I think it's probably because I wasn't on the field. But I do this. I go through these phases where I'm like, I really want to be good at this, and I really want to do this, but I can't because I really need to have all this. If only I had this, I'd be so much better at this, and a few years ago when I first got here, I didn't really know anybody. Quick fun fact about me, I come from a family of rednecks. Now, I don't exactly fit the profile all the time. Some things I do. I enjoy backyard barbecues and I enjoy big lifted trucks and things like that. That's great. But my family is all from places like Conway and Ainer, South Carolina and Ridgeland. I'm talking backwoods. These people are redneck to the core, and they all hunt. Every one of them hunts. Here's my problem. I've been alive my whole life. I've never been hunting before. And I'm like, okay, that sounds like a pretty cool thing. So Pastor Steve comes to me one day. He says, hey, man, I'm going to go hunting on Saturday. There's some land that I go to. Would you like to come with me? I said, well, dude, I ain't never hunted before. But it sounds fun. He said, okay, well, I'll let you come with me. He goes, you can try it out. We won't tell anybody. It'll be our little secret. If things go well, you can go get your license, and we can, whatever. So what do? I go buy like a camo wrapped rifle with the scope and I got the real tree gear from top to bottom, and man, I'm looking good. And I get out to the tree and we sit in the tree for like 4 hours and we don't even see a deer. And I'm like, this is the worst. He's like, oh, that's cool, man. We'll salvage today. We'll go do some target practice. I said, that sounds like a lot of fun. So we're standing around, and he's got this old rifle, and he's like, you need to check this out. I'm like, God, this looks cool, man. So I grab the rifle, and I'm like, okay, well, how do you work it? He goes, well, you got the safety right there. If you just kind of push that button, and I'm like, kaboom, the thing goes off. And I'm not even kidding. I blew a hole in the ground that was this big around, 2 inches away from his foot and his face, guys. He goes, I think that might be enough for today. It didn't matter that I went and spent all this money on these guns and all this gear. I didn't know what to do with it. Even when I did have it, I didn't know what to do with it. And I go through these phases where I'm asking these questions, man, if I only had this, that I would be really, really good at this. Here's the problem. First of all, Uncle Rico, he's saying if the coach had only put me in, things would be different. I'm saying if I had better tools, then I could build things. If I had the best gear, I could play sports. Maybe some of you guys are asking these questions. If you're saying something like, man, if I could only sing, then I could be a musician. Or how about this one? If I could grow a beard, I could be a better pastor. It's fine. You can laugh. Laugh for about 10 minutes because that'll actually make everything normal again because I've been dogged way too many times over the past couple of weeks. If I had more money, I could buy a bigger house. If I had more time, I could travel more. If my children were in a different stage of life, then I would take that job and I would move. And this all sounds amazing, right? This all sounds great, but here's the reality. The reality is I can't build things. I can't play sports. You can't sing. Trust your worship pastor. Especially this group right here. You don't have unlimited money. You don't have more time. And your children are not in a different stage of life. In other words, you are stuck with your limitations. And while it feels really liberating to think about life as if you didn't have your limitations, they're still there, and you have to work with them regardless. So today we're going to land in 2 Kings 4. If you've got your Bible, if you guys want to open up to that, if you've got your phone app, or if you just want to listen, I'm going to read through. Starting in 2 Kings 4, we're going to talk a little bit about Elisha. Elisha, not to be mixed up with Elijah. They were homies, they hung out, but they're not the same person, okay? Elisha was a prophet, and he got to experience some incredible, incredible miracles through what God did through his life. One of them in particular is this one right here. First of all, at this point right now, Elisha is a senior prophet. People know who this guy is. Okay, when he rolls up into town, people recognize. Well, apparently, at this point, one of his fellow prophets has passed away. And he goes to this town, and the prophet's widow comes running straight up to him. She comes running straight up to him. She just pours out her troubles. She says, my husband is dead. Creditors are coming. I'm in so much debt. And if I don't pay my debts, they're going to take my sons away as slaves. Here's a woman who is the poster child for someone who is in need. And Elisha asks the most bizarre question. He says, what's in your house? And I know if it was me, and I was going through this situation, and this guy comes up, and I tell him all these things, and he says, what's in your house? And be like, that's none of your business, what's in my house. What do you mean, what's in my house? I just told you all these things that are wrong with me, and you want to know what's in my house? But she responds. She says, your servant has nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around, ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour oil into the jars. And as each is filled, I want you to put it to one side. So she left, and she shut the door behind her and her sons, and they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. And his response was, there isn't any left. And at that moment, the oil stopped flowing. She went and she told Elisha, and she said, and he said, go and sell the oil, pay your debts, and you and your son can live on what's left. Here's what I think is incredible about this story. She kept pouring the oil until every single jar was filled to the brim. And at that very moment, the miraculous flow of oil stopped. It wasn't before, it wasn't after. It was all in God's perfect timing. He was saying, look, I don't care what you have because I'm not interested in what you have. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in the vessel that you bring. And in this particular instance, the vessel was a single jar of oil. And that jar of oil went on to fill jar after jar after jar until they were all filled. And at that exact moment, it stopped. See, initially, all this woman could focus on was what she didn't have. I don't have a husband anymore. You know, I can't pay my bills. My sons are getting ready to be taken away. But it was that exception that became the vessel for an exceptional miracle. The exception in this moment was, I have a jar with a little bit of oil. And I think sometimes we often excuse ourselves from God's greater vision because we believe that we don't have enough for God to work with. You know, again, money. I don't have enough money. I can't give to the church because I don't have enough. Time. I don't have enough time. I can't do the things I want to do because I don't have the time. Things are just going too crazy. Talent. You know, I can't I can't get up on stage and sing. I can't, you know, use my gifts because I can't sing. Experience, you know, I don't have the experience that I need to make that happen, or I don't have the resources I need. You know, for me, it's like I can't build anything, but if I only had the resources, maybe it would make me a better builder. But it didn't, because at the core of who I am, I'm still a horrible builder and I'm still a horrible athlete. So the things that I surrounded myself with, the resources that I gave myself, didn't change anything. And so we get to this moment where we're thinking, man, if I only had this, I could do this, and I could do all these amazing things, if only. And we get to a place, I think, where we're taught, hey, when you run into a roadblock, when you run into a thing like that, you need to think outside the box, right? This is a mantra. It's you know, for anyone who wants to break out and be progressive, this is what they tell you. You have to think outside of the box. And I think that when it comes to tackling challenges boldly and creatively, that it's good advice. Here's the problem, is that that advice can breed frustration instead of innovation. Why? Because what we call out-of-the-box thinking can actually be more like wishful thinking. You know, dreaming about how God could use you to touch lives if you could sing will not make you a better singer. Just like me thinking that the more things I have that make me look like an athlete doesn't make me an athlete. Dreaming about how God would use you to help those in need if only you had more money won't make the money just appear. You know, the box is what it is. God cannot use us beyond our limitations until we embrace our limitations. We have to embrace what God has given us and say, all right, this may not be exactly what I had in mind, but this is my limitations, this is what I can do, this is what I'm going to give, and step back and watch the miracles that can happen. Because I'm not saying don't dream. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have dreams. If there's something you want and you want to pursue it and you want to run after it, you want to chase after it, by all means do that. Having dreams is an incredible, incredible thing. But your box is never going to expand to accommodate the dreams outside of it until you learn to trust God in it. You know, if I only had more time, if I only had more money. Here's one, one of my greatest insecurities in life. If I only had an education. I was a college dropout at 19. I made it through one semester before the college told me, nah, graduated with a 0.12 GPA. That's possible. Y'all didn't know that, but that was possible. And I started in ministry not long after that. God put a clear calling in my life. He said, Alex, I want you to go and I want you to be in ministry. And for as long as I've been in ministry, my biggest insecurity is the fact that I don't have a degree, because we measure ourselves, right? We measure ourselves by our circle of influence. And so for me, I'm in ministry and I'm surrounded, you know, the social media age and the internet age and all this stuff has made being in ministry really, really difficult at times, because you're constantly comparing yourself to other people, constantly. And I look at the guys who are in my position, other worship pastors, other influential leaders. And the one thing I consistently see in common with all of them is they've got, you know, they've got their master of divinity, they've got their doctrine, they've got all these things, and I'm sitting here going, man, I don't even have a degree. Like, I don't even have an associate's degree. And I let that hinder me for so long. And for so long, I stepped back, and instead of chasing after what God had clearly given me, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go back to school, because I think that's what I need to do. If I'm going to get anywhere in ministry, I've got to go back to school. Four separate occasions I've gone back to school, and all four of those times I've failed again. And this is different stages of life, okay? This isn't like me being a punk teenager over here who doesn't know how to make good decisions. I'm talking 25, 26 years old. I'm standing over here, and I can't do it. I can't. And there has to be a reason for that, right? I mean, I'm not a good student. I'll give you that. I don't like school. I'll give you that too. But God is clearly, he has spoken through my life, and he said, Alex, you are going to go on to make an impact regardless of your education. Your education does not define who you are. You are defined through your image in me. So what am I good at? I can play music. I can sing. That's really about the only thing, guys. I'm a real simple human. I'm not good at a lot of things, but that's what I'm good at. And for so long, I fought it, man. At one point, I gave up on ministry. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go find a job in the real world, because that's where the money's at, right? I can't provide for my family with a part-time ministry job forever. Thank God he closed that door. Thank God he pushed me back into what I'm doing now, because I've been able to sit back and see some of the most incredible things happen through the ministry that God has put within me, because I embraced my limitations and I said, you know what, instead of trying to worry about what's going on outside of the box, I'm going to sit right here in this box and I'm just going to continue to receive and receive and receive. How about this one right here? This one might ruffle some feathers a little bit. How about this one? If I only had kids. My wife and I have dealt with infertility for 6 years. We had a son. His name is Parker. He's the joy of my life. 6 years ago, we didn't have a clue anything was wrong because, you know, we had a kid. No problem, right? Our goal was to have more. We wanted to have a whole house full of kids, man. That was the passion that we had in our lives. And 6 years later, we tens of thousands of dollars, doctor after doctor, pit after pit. And we're sitting back going, God, you did it before. Like, what's the problem? And they're telling us, they're saying, Alex, the only thing we can really tell you is that with Parker, you guys won the lottery without even buying a ticket. So what did I do? For 2 years, 3 years, I missed opportunities. I was depressed. My wife and I didn't have answers. I was angry with God. You know, in ministry, specifically in my age, right, you know, in the, you know, 30, 31 years old, everybody around you is getting pregnant always. And it feels like, man, Dad, she coughed and got pregnant. How in the world can this not happen? It's so difficult. And you know where God rocked me to my core? It was 4 years ago, three years ago. He's six now. He was three at the time. 3 years ago. When I sat down one morning and I was just having a bad, I was just angry. You know, I didn't want anything to do with anybody. I'm like, man, you know, Parker's over there tugging on my shirt, wants me to play. You know, we had just got done forking out another several thousand dollars for another, you know, treatment that didn't work. And I sat back and I realized that for the past 3 years, I have completely missed every part of Parker's life because I was too busy focusing on what I didn't have. And I wonder how many of us are missing the miracles that God has planned in our lives because we're so full of excuses. It sounds strange, but I think that if you really want to see God expand your gifts, I challenge you to think inside of the box, not outside. Think inside. Stop waiting for what you want and start working what you have. What are you good at? How much money do you have? You know, what talents has God given you? How much time do you have? Because I think that your greatest limitation is God's greatest opportunity. And if we can just embrace that. Because do you not think that the God of eternity, the God of the universe, the God that created every living thing, that if he wanted you to have something, he probably would have provided it to you. If he wanted you to be able to do something, he would have made you able to do that. If he wanted me to play sports, he would have given me that ability, but I don't have that ability. He didn't. So there must be something greater in mind that he wants to do through your limitation. He must have something in mind that he wants to do with what you actually have and actually can do, right? Most of us are so focused on what we don't have that we're blinded to what we do have. Here's a challenge this morning. I think that if you do your part, if you learn to embrace your limitations, if you learn to embrace what you have in life, God will begin to do what only he can do. He'll make your box bigger. Okay? Instead of being consumed with the idea of stepping outside of the box and doing all the things that you have dreamed, why don't we just learn to live inside of the box and trust what God has given us and trust what he's graced us with and what he's blessed with us and watch as that box expands. You want to talk about a box growing bigger? My box grew bigger today. For 10 years, 10 plus years, I've stood in this spot right here and I have seen God do incredible, incredible things. And he put an opportunity in my lap. He said, Alex, I got a word. I want you to preach. I want you to get up in front of people. And I fought it. I fought it and I fought it because it's just not my comfort zone. It's not what I'm comfortable with. It's not, you know, where I, you know, worship is easy. Worship, the songs are written already, right? And all I'm doing is getting up here singing and maybe putting in a word here and there. But man, I tell you what, I got up this morning. I was sick as a dog and I know why. Man, just how humbling is it to know that God is about to speak his word through me? He made my box bigger. God has a history of using what little someone has to do great things that only he can do. Think about it. The shepherd's staff. He used the shepherd's staff to part the Red Sea. He used 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed the thousands of people. He even used a donkey to talk to someone and save their life. It's in Numbers 22. Look it up. He didn't use the word donkey, but I wasn't allowed to use that word this morning. I don't know. Maybe I was allowed. I want you to think of your limitations as fish and loaves that Jesus is eager to bless. Because he can bless only what you have to bring. And since he can multiply it, since he's God, and he can multiply it to the highest power that he desires, it really doesn't matter what you start with as long as it's not zero. See, come to find out, that jar of oil may have not been much, but it turns out it was a pretty good start. And maybe what you have in your life this morning is a really, really good start that you're just missing out on because it's not what you want. And God is saying, trust me inside of this box and watch me expand your box. Watch you be able to do amazing things outside of it. Because I think a God who created something out of nothing can also create something great out of something very little. So my question for you guys this morning, what is it that God has placed in your hands? You know? Maybe you're really good with kids and you just don't really know how to use that. Let me get real for a minute. Maybe you're sitting in that spot this morning where you're not able to have kids. But you love kids and you know you were born to be a mom and you know you were born to pour into kids. Guys, there's a kids ministry back here right now that is looking for people to invest in the future of this church. And maybe instead of just sitting there saying, woe is me, I don't have the kids in my life that I need, I don't have the things in my life that I need, you need to open yourself up and look at what's around you. Look what God has planted in front of you that needs to grow and can only grow with the seed that you're able to plant. You know, how much money do you have? How much time do you have? What kind of impact can you make for the church? What kind of impact can you make in someone else's life by just embracing your limitations and using them for God's glory? Because time and time again, he has proven that he's faithful. And that he can take just the smallest of people. He can take people who thought that they could do nothing and latch onto something as small as a jar of oil to create a miracle, an absolute miracle. So this morning, what has God already placed in your hands? Or, as Elisha would ask, what's in your house? What's in your house? Will you join me as we pray this morning? Father, I just want to thank you so much for this opportunity. I thank you for expanding my box. I thank you for pushing me outside of my limitations and pushing me outside of the things that I look at as a comfort zone, Father, and pushing me to do something greater. I thank you for the calling in my life, for the opportunities I've been given to embrace my limitations. So music's the only thing I'm good at. But Lord, you have just done incredible, incredible things through me using those gifts. And for those of us who are sitting in this room this morning, that are like Uncle Rico, and they're missing out on life completely. They're flying by, they're living in a van, they're making videos, they're dwelling on the past that is never going to change, and they're missing everything that you have in store for them, their entire future, everything that's sitting, all the blessings that you've given them, they're being missed. And this morning, I just want to declare that we need to end that and start trusting in you. Start trusting in what you have provided us with. Father, we are so thankful to call you God. We're so thankful to be able to sit back and watch as you use the smallest of things to create the biggest of miracles. And this morning, will you allow us to just embrace those limitations, to live inside of the box that we've been given, and watch as you bless us outside of it if we learn to trust in you fully. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.